Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 4 as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Hebrews chapter number 4, just want to look tonight at a few things, hopefully encouraging things. Want to look at one verse of Scripture to read with, and then we're going to see a few things here in this one chapter and a couple other places. The Bible says in verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And I want to preach tonight on that thought, the time of need. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the time that you saved us. That day, what a day it was. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here, meet together one more time, and I pray that you will continue to meet with us. And you'll speak to our hearts and our lives through your word. Help us, strengthen us, encourage us to do your will. Meet with us, please, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. May it be all about thee. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Bible says that there's grace to help in the time of need. I'm reminded about a story I heard of one time when a preacher was asked in his daily walk, what time of the day did he need the Lord the most? And he began to think about it, and he first replied that it was in the morning when he started a new day, he needed the Lord. And then after he thought about it for just a little while, he began to think about when he was going through his day and being under the stress of all that was going on around him. He said, well, that's probably when I need the Lord the most. And then he began to think, and he said, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe at the end of the day when I'm tired and my body's tired and my mind's weary. And he said, come to think about it, I guess I just need him all the time. And I think that's the way it is with us, isn't it? We try to sometimes analyze when do we need the Lord the most, but I think we all understand that the time of need in most of our lives is all the time. We always need him. But there are specific times when we really need a touch from God. There are those times when we need his help and his encouragement. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that we can have him all the time, anytime, and especially in the time of need, because he says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It seems like this chapter number 4 is a great chapter, and it closes out with this verse, but when we look at the things that are before it, and we could talk about so many of these verses, but notice about some of the things that we see. We see the rest that we find in verse number 3, actually verses 3 through 9, but I want us to look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now, when we look at this, we begin to see some things, because verse number 2 tells us how that when we mix faith with our belief, that we're going to find rest that we never knew before. And here's the thing. We have a belief, but we have to learn to have faith in these beliefs. What the Bible teaches us. And when we put faith and we mix our faith and belief, then we'll find rest. We'll know that God is in control and God is taking care of everything. A lot of people never find the rest that God has for them because they don't apply their faith to their beliefs. They'd rather be troubled. You know, I'm convinced that some people just want to go through life being troubled and upset all the time. Always wanting to find something wrong and always wanting to have a woe is me attitude. Right? You ever meet anybody like that? You know, you begin to talk with them. Those are the kind of people that you never go up to and say, "How you doing?" Because they'll tell you. And it's usually a long conversation, and you don't say anything, but a half hour later, you realize they ain't doing too good, right? I mean, things just aren't the way they should be, and they begin to tell you all these things. You know, and sometimes I want to say, are you going to trust God for anything? When you mix faith with your belief, guess what you get? Rest. That's what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." But it says in verse number 2, "Unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." In other words, they didn't have the rest because they didn't mix their faith with their beliefs. So the rest we find. Then we see the word that we feel in chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, "The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You know, you look at this, we realize that it is the Word of God, and it takes the Word of God to cut us, to trim us, to separate us, and to get us into condition where God can use us for His glory. We have to have the Bible as a part of our life every day. If you don't allow the Word of God to enter into your life every day, then how's God going to speak to you? How's He going to show you His plan for the day and His will for your life? We must understand that the Word of God is given to us. It's been preserved for us for a purpose. And it's there. It's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, it shows us where we are, and it shows us what we need. Amen. And the Word of God is something that we can feel. In other words, it cuts us. It separates things off of our lives. It shows us right from wrong. It shows us which way to go. It shows us what we need to do. So we understand that we need the Word of God in our life every day. And this Word that we feel is given to us for a purpose. But then I love verse number 15. And we see the priest we face, because the Bible says, "For we have an high priest." We have not an high priest, "which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So here we've talked about mixing our faith with our beliefs. We've talked about the Word of God. And here we find out that when we go to the Lord Jesus, when we pray believing, that we're going to come face to face with the One that knows every need that we have. We're never going to go to Him. And we're never going to bring some problem to Him or some need to Him that He's going to look and say, "Huh, hadn't heard that one before. I'm really not sure what to do about this." He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you're feeling. And He knows the solution to the problem that you're facing. So we have a high priest that we can go to. And guess what? We're not going to bring anything too big for Him, anything too hard for Him, and we're not going to bring anything to Him that He doesn't already know about. He's touched about every need. He's touched by every one of those. He's gone down the road that we're going down. He's known every sorrow that we're facing. He's dealt with every obstacle that we have to overcome. And when we come face to face to Him in prayer, we're not facing somebody that's a stranger to the situation. So, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our text here says that there is help there for the time of need. And we need the Lord every step of our life. Yes, there are times when things are more difficult and we feel like we need Him more at those times. But I think when we really take an inventory of our life, we're going to say we need Him all the time. Not just when things are going bad. And not like we do not need Him when things are going good. If we really mix our faith with our beliefs, we're going to understand that we need Him all the time. And He's there for us. So when we think about the time of need, there are several things that can be applicable to that. And I want us to look at three things tonight, just for a few moments. And I want us to see, first of all, in this verse, we need grace to help us in the time of need. We need grace to help us. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Do you realize tonight that there is a sufficient amount of grace, and we can find it if we come to the right place for it? So many believers think that grace ends at salvation. And we quote all the time, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we talk about that. Thank God I had the grace. I got all the grace I needed when I got saved. I've got news for you. You got all the grace you needed to save you, but guess what? You still need grace every day. That's why the Bible says here that we are to come boldly into the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. God's grace, yes, it's wonderful the day that we get saved, but we need His grace every day of our lives. And there is grace to help us in the time of need. The songwriter said it well when they penned down, "There's been grace for every trial, grace for every mile, grace sufficient from His vast supply. Grace to make the heart more tender. Grace to love and pray for sinners. And there'll be grace when it's my time to die." I want you to understand we need God's grace every day of our lives. And God's grace is not only available, it is sufficient, and it will take care of us if we'll trust His grace every day. Charles Spurgeon said that the grace of God, in talking about the grace of God, he says that it was God giving us a blank check and that we're to fill in the amount that we need. That's a pretty good amount, isn't it? Grace to help us in the time of need. The Bible, the Word of God, has given us an invitation to come to the throne of grace to ask just for what we need. I'm always amazed when I talk to Christians and they'll make a statement like, "I really need this in my life. I wonder if God can take care of that for me." Well, I know God can take care of it. Sometimes I just wonder if it's really what we need. A lot of times we think we need something and God knows we don't. And God's grace is so good that He doesn't give it to us. Isn't that amazing? How many of y'all have children? How many of your children ever come to you and said, "Daddy or Mommy, I really need this. I need it. It's not that I want it. I need it." Anybody ever had that happen? "Yeah, I really need it." But in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, you thought they want it, but they don't really need it. Right? And then you didn't go get it for them. And guess what? They woke up the next day and they forgot all about needing that a lot of times. What they thought they needed, they found a month later, they didn't even realize that it was even something in the world, you know? Usually they get the newest gadget, and then you find it in the bottom of a toy box or in the back of a shelf or somewhere when you do get it for them. But they had, they needed it. They weren't going to be able to live without it. My son right now, it's a Mustang, 2009 Mustang. He needs it bad, you know. Bad. He don't have a driver. He don't have a learner's permit yet, but he needs it bad. I'm just teasing him. He'd like it bad. He wished one was sitting in the parking lot. Of course, they might try to steal it. They stole a goose from our front yard the other day. It wasn't a live goose, no. I told Jody, I said, "Boy, they really got you goose this time, didn't they?" Y'all pray for me. I've got a week left to aggravate them. And my daughter gave me permission last night to just have at it. She said, "You can say all those silly things you say and do all those things it is that you do that just aggravates us. they're going to be going before the throne of grace so that they can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because I figure I'm just going to just throw it all out there on the table. Amen? I think about this grace. Grace is so good. It's more than just what we got when we got saved. We need grace to help us in the time of need. And there's an invitation here to come to Him when we truly have a need, and He's able. He is able, dear friends. God is able. We need grace to help us in the time of need. But not only do we need grace to help us in the time of need, I want you to turn with me to chapter 10 of this same book, Hebrews chapter number 10. And I want us to look at one verse, verse 36. And the Bible says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Not only do we need grace to help us in the time of need, we need patience to harbor us in the time of need. I think one of the most difficult times or trying times in the life of a Christian is after we've done the will of God, or done the very best that we can do and what we believe is the will of God, and then we don't see the results that we thought we would see. We need patience to harbor us and just to know that we've done what we're supposed to do and trust God to take care of that. I think sometimes in our lives we feel like we've been a failure when truly it's not been a failure. It's just that we need to have that patience for God to show the results. And sometimes the way that He shows results aren't always instantaneous. Sometimes it takes a while. When we get to heaven, we'll meet so many of these things. And God's so good. We need that patience sometimes just to help carry us through. There's a need of patience. You have need of patience. You know, you've heard the saying so many times, people got up and preachers preached on patience, and they always give the same illustration over and over and over about the person that says, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now." But I think sometimes that's exactly how we are. We laugh at it and we think, "Ha, that's funny." But it's true. We pray for things. We live in a microwave society. I mean, you know, you can throw frozen pizza in a microwave, and in a few seconds you've got hot pizza. Maybe not. If you've got a good microwave, it's a few seconds. You have our microwave, it's a few minutes. But anyway, we live in a society where everybody wants something instantly. We don't have things, you know, that takes work. And I mean, you got instant potatoes. I know some of y'all like it. My wife loves instant potatoes. They're all right. They trick me sometimes. They put them in front of me. They've got real instant potatoes. Did you know that? Or I'd have had, it says real instant potato. That's devilish. That's what that is. That's devilish, isn't it? I know. I've only got a few more services. You bear with me. Everybody wants something instantly. God don't always do that. It's not always instant results. It's not always you pray it and it happens. Thank God for the times it is. I like those times. But I think any of us that's been serving the Lord any time at all knows that sometimes you pray for things and you trust the Lord and you just have to patiently wait on the Lord. And what is best, what God has for you in the right timing will be there. God's always on time. I have been so amazed at God's timing in my life. Sometimes I think things are going to happen a lot quicker than they do, and then sometimes things that I thought were going to happen never happen. But if you're doing what you do out of a pure heart and trying to do what God wants you to do, you can trust God to take care of these things. During the Civil War, somebody came up to Abraham Lincoln and said, "Mr. Lincoln, do you think that you'll end this war before your term is over?" And he told him, said, "I can't say. I can't tell you." And so they asked him, said, "Mr. President, what do you mean to do? I mean, if you can't end it, what are you going to do?" He says, "I'm just going to keep pegging away. I'm just going to stay at it. I'm going to do what I believe I need to do." And sometimes I think that we need the patience just to keep doing God's will with our life and trust Him with the results. So many times I want to see results and I want to see results. It's not always in the results that you see, but then there's times you just have to do what you know God wants you to do. You have to have patience, and we need that patience. We need patience to harvest in the time of need. But then I want you to turn with me, if you will, to another book in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want you to see this. We could look at all these. As a matter of fact, I want to read several verses here. Begin reading verse number 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Verse number 13, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, 'Because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor give the head to the feet, 'I have no need of thee.'" When we look at this passage of Scripture, I see that we need one another to hold us in the time of need. Everybody is important in God's family. Everybody. The body of the church is designed so that one part needs the other. And during the time of need, if you'll take your part, you'll find that not only will you be blessed, but you'll be a blessing to others. If you'll do what you're supposed to do, let God use you, He'll use you. What about me? You know, preacher, I'm not much. You know, I can't do much. I can't say much. I don't have a lot of talent. Verse 22, "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." I want you to understand, everybody is important in God's family. And you need each other. We need each other to be there. To be there. We need one another for strength and for fellowship when we're lonely, for strength when we're weak, for help when we're in need. The eye can't say to the hand, "I have no need of thee." The head to the feet, they can't say, "I have no need of you." So you understand, we need grace to help us in the time of need. We need patience to harvest in the time of need. We need one another to hold us in the time of need. There are times when we don't even realize we have needs. But then there are times when we feel like the need is so great. But we always need the Lord. We always need His grace, we always need patience, and we always need one another. And we'll find that if we'll all do our part and we'll trust the Lord, then we will find that rest. We will feel that word. And we will face the priest with great confidence, knowing that he's able to take care of all these things. The time of need. Let's bow our heads. As we get ready for a hymn of invitation, I want you tonight to just think about these things. And I don't know exactly where you are. I don't know exactly what your need is, but guess what? The Lord does. I know there are needs. We all have needs. I know we all have specific needs. And some of those needs we all have the same thing. Answers, no doubt. Well, guess what? We can come to the throne of grace and find the grace to help us. We can find that patience to be there. But what about just saying, I'm going to be one of those that's going to do my part? I may not seem significant in the great scheme of things, but I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be what I need to be. Why don't you obey the Lord tonight as we have this time of invitation? You respond the way that God would have you to respond. Heavenly Father, we give this time to Thee. May we obey Thee. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.